This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, it's been a week since the University of Hawaii system has been back in session. So far, enrollment at UH Manoa in West Oahu is up about 3%, with Hilo and six of the community colleges seeing a bit of a drop. For the most part, students and faculty are working remotely, but there are some in-person classes. And while there have been some positive COVID cases, there are no clusters so far. Here's UH President David Lassner.
We have communicated with our students. We've really let them know how important it is. We're also doing some work with peer communication because, you know, we think hearing from your president has some value, but it's limited as opposed to really understanding from peers. In fact, our communication students have been producing some videos in partnership with Department of Health, and those are going to start hitting, I think, both television and social media soon. But, you know, we've just hit a point where people have to believe this really matters, and our students are smart, and I think they get it, and we just have to keep that message going. You know, we have the modified quarantine under which the students who arrived here with a pretest, we still had them on a modified quarantine situation where they could only participate in UH activities, and we called them daily, and I actually had a complaint from a parent who felt that we were being too hard-nosed with the parent's child here, and I think we all felt we're pretty proud if we have put fear of God into that student, that we're really serious about this modified quarantine that we bought into. As we said from day one, we will have cases on our campuses. We have a website up that you can look at how many we have, less than 15 for sure.
Now, in the dorms, you're at 50% capacity.
We're actually under that now.
Have you had to make room for isolation units?
Absolutely. The last number I saw was that we have 4 of our housing residents in isolation.
Okay. And then what about contact tracing?
The Department of Health does the contact tracing. So we use them as our reference and experts because that gets centrally coordinated because we don't have access to the contacts that are likely not associated with campus transmission. To the best of my knowledge, we don't have evidence of campus-based transmission. So even when we have 2 people who in the same building who tested positive in one situation, they were on completely different floors, and through the contact tracing process, it appears they both were family-related, not campus-related. So we don't have anything yet that has appeared looking like a cluster on campus. We have 19 cases across our 10 campuses since April. Since school started, we have 8, and that's again on all campuses.
And for the first time, you also rolled out a new app.
We worked with a local vendor. It was developed to our specifications, quite affordable. I have to say we're really pleased, especially when we saw some of the costs incurred at other places within the state and beyond. It is a requirement if you are going to campus to check in daily. And the app asks you about symptoms, about travel, and about close exposure to anyone who tested positive. And if you answer no to everything and confirm that you're telling the truth, you get a little green screen. And we're asking, for example, if you want to walk into the library, you may be required to show on your mobile device the green. So we're rolling that out. So far, so good. It wakes you up if you approach a campus and you haven't checked in. Sort of says, hey, did you check in? So we just do a simple geofencing. We're not tracking movement at this time, but we're looking at whether that might make sense for the modified quarantine, where we pretty much want students to only go from home to campus and back.
And because a lot of the learning is being done remotely, we really had the big test this spring, and your information technology people did pretty well.
And we're doing even better now. We had the opportunity of the summer to equip facilities. We beefed up some of our infrastructure, more capacity for storing videos of classes for people who really are sick and miss them entirely. We want them to be able to catch up on, say, a Zoom class or a recorded video. We increased our Zoom licenses. And our faculty spent time over the summer, many of them figuring out how to do better at teaching online. So, you know, I think that's one of the capacities that we will be a stronger university after all of this, for having pretty much all of our faculty experience what it means to teach online. And even if you're going back to teaching in the classroom, there are opportunities to do things online that you really can't do in the classroom. So we're hoping some of that rubs off. But we're also seeing the opportunity to develop more fully online programs We think our future is both online and in person. Depending on disciplines and audience, there are a lot of good reasons to be doing your learning on campus. But we also see lots of opportunity to serve many more people across the state with fully online offerings. Similarly, we figured out how to get by without signing forms for most of our transactions. So I go in, I get asked to go in. I mostly work at home, but when I go in, I usually have to sign things. But the things that I am signing in person with a pen tend to be retirement certificates and donor letters as opposed to university business transactions.
Well, that's great.
It's really good. And it's, again, something positive that we will take away from this, because we're not going to go back to sending paper all over our campuses and around the state when we have learned that we don't have to.
And you're just coming off a big meeting with the Board of Regents about the need to come up with a short-term emergency plan because of COVID and our funding situation. Where are we at with that?
We actually have broken this down into two initiatives. One is we need a plan to get through the current fiscal year, where we're coping with pretty significant decrease in state funding, although we have not formally received our state budget allocation yet. But, you know, as a university, that's more than half of our operating dollars come from the state. It's about 60% across the UH system. So when that gets hit, it's a pretty significant hit to us. The other 40% or so of our operating budget comes from tuition. We're also looking at financially the amount of tuition billed. And the campuses that are up also right now appear to be ahead on revenue. So that exceeds expectations. We try to budget pretty conservatively, but the hit on our state funding is real and significant. I think we were the first entity in the state going back to March to actually freeze new hires, major new expenditures. Travel was pretty easy to freeze in the COVID era, but we didn't know that at the time. And so those all add up to savings as well.
I think there was a lot of hand-wringing earlier this summer. We were hearing everything, you know, from, oh, they might shut down a community college or, you know, cut programs.
Yeah, so that's part two. So part one is getting through this fiscal year. And what we've communicated very clearly within the university and with the board is that, you know, this is a minimum four-year financial crisis for the state of Hawaii, probably longer. So even if we were to reopen tourism, whatever that means, it would take quite some time for the numbers to recover. We're also observing that most people don't actually want it to come back to the same numbers in the same way it was. I've already been talking with John DeFries, who's coming in to head HTA, and talk about how UH can help support a different kind of tourism that's probably healthier for the community and maybe even higher value for our visitors. That's just one example. But we need to look at structural changes to the UH operating budget for a minimum of 4 years. And that hit is both because of the state side, but it's also, you know, even if tourism were to come back, the state will need to take out a substantial loan. And the terms of that loan are that it has to be paid back over a maximum of 3 years. So just making up a number, one of the numbers the governor has thrown out is borrowing in the range of $750 million. The legislature has thrown out borrowing up to $2 billion. So if you take that number and divide it by three and then add a little bit of interest, the federal loans are pretty low interest. Even at $750 million, the state will have to pay back $250 million a year for the next 3 years, which is a pretty sizable cut in our budget just to pay back that loan for 3 years. So we are looking at a variety of approaches, looking at our programs, looking at how we collaborate between our campuses, looking at our costs for maintaining real estate that maybe we can do without. Those things are on the table to see what we're going to need to do to reshape ourselves. And at the same time, we need to focus what we're doing on the things the state of Hawaii needs from us the most. So we need to keep educating more students. My friends in the arts and humanities are quite concerned that I care about it, and I really do care. Those are rigorous forms of education. Even if you don't get a job directly in your field, they still use their education. Those are fields where we teach critical thinking, creativity, innovation, collaboration and communication in different ways. But we also have to educate people for the jobs in Hawaii. So we need healthcare workers. We need educators. If the state is going to grow out of this with construction, that's one of our habits. You know, UH has to teach people both for the skilled trades, but also the architects and engineers who are going to help us design a more sustainable future. We need to be helping kickstart the economy. Clearly, that work has to include growing agriculture. It has to include growing computer science and engineering. It has to include growing creative media. It has to include growing a more sustainable form of tourism. It has to include growing green jobs. These are all things that cannot happen without UH as a strong participant and partner. And we've got to keep growing our research enterprise. You know, we're really proud. Last year, we brought in over $450 million in extramural funding. That creates thousands of direct jobs. It's a significant industry in and of itself, and those jobs are all across the state and with significant economic ripple on every island. You know, we're a big part of kickstarting this economy and creating a more sustainable economy for the future of Hawaii. And we've got to make sure we continue to maintain and invest in those areas for the state. And that simply has to be our priority as Hawaii's public university system.
What about athletics?
You know, we're part of two conferences, both of which came to the conclusion that we did not believe we could conduct fall sports safely. We have postponed them, not canceled them. And so in both conferences, we're looking at the possibility of having spring seasons in those sports that were postponed. You know, we try to be optimistic that we will understand enough about how to conduct athletic conferences safely by spring. We have not said anything yet about our winter sports, so that includes basketball, and spring sports are still on hold. So that's a work in progress. So I meet regularly with the presidents of the universities in both of our conferences. And that's who makes the decision. We listen to advice from our athletic directors and coaches. We also get medical advice. And then at the end of the day, the presidents all, we look each other in the eye and say, do we believe this sport can be conducted safely given what we know now? We all have different conditions in our space, in our places. We have different travel restrictions. We have different gubernatorial orders. We have different county and city orders. So it's really quite a challenge to figure out how we can make this all work together. But I think we're all committed to doing our best to try to let our student athletes compete if we think we can do it safely.
And, you know, you've got all kinds of programs, jewels, really, that maybe were bringing in revenue. You know, say the Waikiki Aquarium, right? They had the facilities income that they banked on, the luaus, that kind of thing. And then those have gone away. I mean, how committed are you to things like that?
You know, that's one that we've actually talked about, and you're right, it's really a challenge, and we're looking at some ways to tide things over. When we have live collections, you can't really just shut them down. We have animals to care for, frankly, so we're trying to figure out how to weather that and identify potential partners who can help us. And you're right, we have a large number of these things that represent financial challenges that the best we can do is work through them one by one, because every one of them is a little bit different.
You've been hearing from UH President David Lassiter as we move into the second week of the fall semester. Today is actually the final day to register for a course, and also the last day to get 100% tuition refund.